I will live the moon and I'll die in the
moon. Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening and welcome to our Medical Tuesday broadcast with your host, Colonel Kimberly Purvis. If you haven't done so already, check out our national Facebook page by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. Before you click that join button, just know we expect all of our members and future members to participate throughout everything we do here in the Defenders 7. We also have a YouTube channel. Hop over there. Do us a favor and hit that subscribe button. We're on MeWe. Click on Communities, scroll down, Defender 7, Humanitarian Patriot Group, American Patriot Group. We have a website. Type in all lowercase letters, www.defenders, Roman numeral V as in Victor, with two small eyes, .com. You'll find on our site that we have a store and a donate button. All 100% of all proceeds from sales from our store and any donations we bring in go back to our communities throughout all 50 states in a time of need. So by all means, please purchase something from the store or hit that donate button. Help us to help you and your community in a time of need. Now for tonight's show and all the shows we do here on Blog Talk, we enjoy it when you call in. But if you're too scared to call in, we also have a live chat room right here on Blog Talk. So either way, come say hi. The number to call to participate, area code 914-205-5773. Again, number to call to participate, area code 914-205-5773. And allow me to welcome you to your host, our Colonel Kimberly Purvis. Good evening, Kimberly.
Good evening.
How are you doing?
Can we just skip the rest of the month?
Can we skip until they get Biden out?
Yeah, please do. I'm so done with this month already. I know it just started. But I'm done. There's just a lot of shit that's going on, and I'm just tired, and I don't want to do over because I don't want to have to redo this whole damn day or the last
right.
2 weeks. Put it to that. I don't want to do over. So
I hear you.
No, I'm just tired of people that go on vacation during the holiday season, and then they call in sick the next 2 days that they were supposed to be back to work. So, and if you're in the medical field, you should know. Actually, it doesn't really matter, but especially in the medical field, when you call in sick, you have no idea how much of a burden you put on other people to cover your patients. You know, like in a hospital, they can always pull someone from another floor. You know, if one floor is slow, they'll pull them from another area. You know, that's a little different. But like home health, you have specific patients on certain days. And, I'm having to cover, I covered for three other nurses. And then like one nurse, she's like, my family was puking all week. And you're not.
Right.
And she called in sick yesterday and today. I honestly think she went away or she just wanted some extra time. And that's what it was.
But, sure.
And, you know, the patients, aside from who has to cover for them, the patients suffer. Because
yes.
We have a lot of people. I don't know about you, but I like the same person taking care of me all the time. And I get if you got to have, you know, when you go to your doctor's office, you have the same nurse. They know your issues. For the most part, depending on how many times you go to the doctor. You know, but it's like for people that have to go if they have certain medical conditions, and they're always at the doctor. You don't want to have to keep explaining yourself to someone over and over and over again. And
right.
So it's just getting old. You know. Oh, but I finally got my new phone today! Yay! and I've got new headphones coming. In the next couple of days. But let me tell you something. I am so technologically retarded. They're like, you could do it at home. Just send. I'm like, no. I'm going to a T-Mobile store. I hate T-Mobile. We originally had Sprint, but T-Mobile bought out Sprint. So now we're stuck with T-Mobile. And I freaking hate them. They have horrible customer service. So anyway, I brought it in my phone in there, and apparently when you have the iPhones, I don't know about the Androids now, about all the different types of Androids, but if you put your two phones next to each other, it'll ask you if you're ready to transfer data to your other phone.
Yeah.
So, I got that far. But we hit a snag, and it took almost 45 minutes to do it. So, and then I thought all of my information would get transferred. No. I had to redo my Telegram, my Messenger, my Facebook, my bank account. One of my Gmail accounts is on my phone. I can't get my other Gmail account because it still has my old phone number as the recovery number. And I won't be able to have my, one of my Gmail accounts. So whatever. That's okay. But anywho, and I got my new slippers in. I've been waiting for these damn memory foam fuckers for like a week. My dog ate my other pair. So I got a new pair. Nice, fancy kind. So, but anyway, I don't know if anyone's aware of our wonderful weather pattern we have been having in America. We had this last couple of, over the weekend, we got mostly ice in Wichita. The rest of Kansas got snow. We got like a half inch of snow. Woo! Enough to just aggravate the shit out of me.
All we got was heavy winds, but we also had 8 earthquakes.
Did you have any rain?
Heavy downpour the other night, but that was it.
Okay. Yeah, and so when all this went across, Tennessee got snow, or East Tennessee got snow, and Virginia got cold by snow.
Lorna, Lorna was whining about the snow.
Well, the only thing it did was it just turned to ice.
My in-laws, they left here, and they were on their way home to Gordonsville, Virginia. If they would have left an hour or an hour and a half later, they would have been stuck on 95 that 19 hours.
Yeah, there. I saw that. I was like, and I left. We didn't just move. We left Virginia a little over a year ago, and they had snow here. Now it's not here. Now it's there. I'm telling you, this is not natural.
It's hard.
All these. Oh, I know. And someone tried to tell me that HAARP is not real. I said, go look it up, Skippy. And they're like, that's not what HAARP is. I'm like, dude, I didn't say it was a musical instrument, you moron. It's a weapon. Good God. I said it was created by the damn Air Force, and it is real. And I said, if you think snow that looks like rice is normal, you're retarded. They're just not helping you. They're just not helping you. Because remember last year when they were talking about all the snow? And the snow looked like little thin pieces of rice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. But other than that, I'm not sure how much of this stuff we went over before. Excuse me. But I'm going to start with doing neurological problems. I know we went over epilepsy, but I'm just going to recap it real quick. And then I'm going to go over the most common types of neurological problems. And then we'll go start with A and work our way down. And whatever we get covered, we get covered. And if anybody has any questions about neurological problems, feel free, message, text, whatever, and we'll try and answer it as best as possible. So everyone, I've already covered epilepsy, like I said, but it's the symptoms of epilepsy, they're different for everybody. Not everybody has the same two symptoms, and that's normal. So basically it's a euphoria during an aura, which is right before. That's why we have seizure dogs. And dogs, these are specially trained dogs. The same thing with someone who's a diabetic. They got dogs that are specially trained to tell when your blood sugar is high or low. The same thing with depression, PTSD. I mean, all kinds of stuff. So that's what happens before you have a seizure. There's something that happens to you beforehand. Some people know they're going to have one. Some don't. There's temporary confusion, episodes where you just stare blankly. And you could be walking in front of a person and they have no idea you're standing there. And that's how we do the Whipple wave at you in front of you, right in front of your face, snap our fingers to kind of snap you out of it. Most of the time it's uncontrollable jerking movements or twitching of the arms and legs. Loss of consciousness or awareness is possible. A lot of times it happens. And psychological symptoms such as fear and anxiety. I do know that people, not everybody with this, some people get embarrassed when they have a seizure. I know my oldest daughter did, and she'd get really embarrassed, especially if she had one in public, and she just feels like mortified about it. And that's why it's always important to pay attention to your body and to know what's going on before it happens. Oh, crap. What in the world? So epilepsy results from the abnormal activities in the brain, and it can be affected by any part of the brain. Genetic changes that run in families. If you have a trauma or head injury, medical conditions that can affect the brain, like a brain tumor, a stroke, things like that. You could have had meningitis. So sometimes anything that's neurological infection can trigger seizures or epilepsy. If there's damage to the brain during birth, that's one of the big things. You know, back in the day, they still use them, the forceps to pull the baby out. You know what I'm talking about, Bobby? They look like salad tongs, pretty much. Some babies' heads were traumatized.
Right.
During birth. Or also the mother's birth canal not being big enough. They're taking too long.
My youngest sister, the umbilical cord is wrapped around her throat. My sister, she was born ass first, folded in half, which also affected, you know, the blood circulation. My brother was just fat and came out feet first. I was the only normal one.
Yeah, when they're ass first, they're breached, and that's why they have to manually turn them. If not, they have to do a C-section.
No, this was in 1965. C-section was, that was not really a common thing to do, if you're understanding. So, he, my mom was in the hospital for a little bit behind him because he was a big-ass baby.
My brother was 10 pounds.
Yeah, my brother was 10.4 or some shit like
that. My youngest was 9.5. I was 9.5. My daughter was. Also, there's developmental disorders like autism. You can have epilepsy. There's a lot of children's health issues. And a lot of them, like autistic children, and you'll see some of these other ones we're going to go over, that a lot of them end up with epilepsy or some form of seizure disorder. So some prevention, and this will help fewer triggered episodes. Eating healthy and a nutritious diet, have a regular exercise regimen, learn to manage your stress, get adequate rest, avoid tobacco and alcohol. Wear seatbelts and helmets when riding vehicles. That's because to avoid another head trauma. And pregnant women must allow proper prenatal care for the fetus to develop normally. Like I said, depending on the age, because if you're young, I hope to God you're not smoking and drinking alcohol. So, now for my daughter, she doesn't have epilepsy. She has a brain lesion, and so she can't be in fluorescent lighting for more than a couple hours because fluorescent lighting has a constant flicker. We don't notice it. People that have no seizures or epilepsy, we don't really pay attention to it, but like she can't go to Walmart or any grocery store, any place that has fluorescent lighting for more than a couple hours at a time. She has to have, it's better for her. You know the screen things that you put in front of your computer? You know what I'm talking about? Those, not a screen protector. Yeah, she has, before the job she does now, she does home health also, but she worked with computers. So she had to have that screen protector, and it helps cut down on the flickering lights of the computer. She can't go into anything with strobe lights. She cannot go to the movies because technically you're not supposed to really watch TV with the lights out.
No, you're not.
So
no.
Those are her triggers specifically. Like I said, it may be different for everybody. Now, if you see all the movies and stuff and rides, it'll tell you this may trigger a seizure.
Yes.
Roller coaster rides. I mean, so pay attention. You know, there's, like I said, not everybody has the same triggers. So some of the complications are injuries, or death due to falls, because one, if you're driving and you have a seizure, you can have a car accident, kill yourself or get hurt or hurt somebody else. You can also fall down, like say for instance, you live on you have stairs. You can fall and hit your head and crack your head or whatever. Seizures happen at any time. Increased risk of accidents when driving, complications during pregnancy. My daughter stopped her seizure medication for the first 3 months, because that's the most important time of fetal development, is the first 3 months. But he told her OB told her to go back on it, because the risk of having a seizure while pregnant can cause more damage to the baby. And so that's why the medication she's on, it's actually pretty safe. And so far, so good. My granddaughter's a year old, and so far, so good. Like I said, there's psychological problems like depression, anxiety, and suicidal tendencies. Just pay attention to the people that you know that have seizures or epilepsy, because it does wear down on them emotionally. So just pay attention. Frequent and recurrent seizures without regaining consciousness is known as status epilepticus. And that also is very important. And at that point, you do need to go to the hospital.
Wait. Repeat that again. Is known as what?
Status epilepticus.
Okay.
That means you have one seizure right after another.
Okay.
Most of the time people have one seizure. Boom, you're done. But when you have them back to back, it's not really good. Now, some doctors want their patient to go to the ER when they have one seizure. But it depends on the person's condition. So same thing with heart patients and taking nitro. 9 times out of 10, your doctor's going to tell you, if you take 3 nitros, boom, back-to-back, like 1 every 5 minutes, then, yeah, you got to go to the hospital. So not every seizure episode has to go to the hospital. But in that case where it's back-to-back, then, yes, I would – yeah, you definitely need to go to the hospital. Sudden unexpected death in epilepsy is called SUDEP, or SUDEP. It's a rare but life-threatening complication. Like I said, your doctor hopefully knows everything there is to know about your epilepsy. So another neurological common one is MS, or better known as multiple sclerosis.
Now, there's multiple. I always get them a little confused. There's multiple sclerosis and multiple muscular dystrophy.
Muscular dystrophy.
That's muscular, and the other is neurological.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm going to go over all of these that go, and then so multiple sclerosis, and then there's other related conditions to MS. So MS, some of the symptoms like visual changes, like double vision or even loss of vision, numbness, tingling or weakness can go from mild to severe, paralysis, vertigo, ED in men, pregnancy problems, urinary incontinence or urinary retention. And urinary incontinence, if you don't know what it means, that means you don't know you have to pee. Now, there's a difference between functional urinary incontinence and stress incontinence and things like that. Functional means you have no idea you got to pee. You just pee. Stress incontinence, I'm sure pretty much every woman on the face of the earth has had this at one point in time in their life. You have big, if you carry large children, bigger babies, you put a stress in your bladder. And so even after later in life, you can bend over, you pee a little bit, you sneeze, you pee, you cough, you pee, you laugh too hard, you pee, you pick something up heavy, you pee. so most of the time, it's just a little bit, but it can get worse. So, and that's when you go into the medications like Mirabetrix, and things like that. Muscle spasticity, coordination of your muscles can be off. You could have tremors, almost like Parkinson's. Painful or involuntary muscle contractions, slurred speech, and fatigue. Like I said, everything varies. It doesn't mean, that you have to have every single one of them. Sometimes you can have all of them. So causes. They don't really know what causes MS, but it's an immune system malfunction. And the body's immune system mistakenly attacks the myelin sheath of the nerve cell. So think of your nerves like a cable wire. And you know that the black rubber coating, that's the myelin sheath. And your nerve
right.
is what's inside. So that's what that is. So it's a protective covering around the nerve cell, which helps in the transmission of signals. Once the myelin sheath is damaged, signal transmission becomes slowed or blocked. And sometimes you can have nerve damage. Same thing with carpal tunnel, ulnar tunnel, and all of those things like that. It all has to do with the myelin sheath. You can even pinch it off, and it blocks the nerve signal. Genetics and environmental factors may also play a role in MS. Some of the risk factors are people between the ages of 20 to 40 are at a higher risk. Women are more likely to develop MS than men. There's a family history, low levels of vitamin D, smoking, and certain infections. So I'm glad my doctor's got me on vitamin D because I have a vitamin D deficiency for some reason, and I take whatever she gives me for vitamin D. There's no real way to prevent MS. The frequency of relapse or a remitting condition, they do have medications for it, but right offhand, I am drawing a blank on some of the medications. So some of the complications is muscle stiffness or spasms, paralysis, usually it's in the legs, problems with your bowel, or your bladder, or even sexual function, mental changes such as forgetfulness or mood swings, depression, and epilepsy. So these are some of the common conditions. Lou Gehrig's disease, Parkinson's, Guillain-Barré syndrome, or GBS, myasthenia gravis, muscular dystrophy, lupus, and autoimmune diseases. And let's go over, because I know you were asking about muscular dystrophy. We're going to go over that one just to cover that as well. So,
you're in my way.
Muscular dystrophy. Huh?
Oh, I thought I was muted. I'm sorry. I was talking to the cat.
Oh. So some of the symptoms of muscular dystrophy is it's progressive muscle weakness is one of the main symptoms of muscular dystrophy. The onset of symptoms and types of muscles affected depend on the type of dystrophy. Some of them are difficulty walking, jumping, or running, difficulty getting up from a lying or sitting position, muscle pain and stiffness, inability to relax muscles when needed, walking on toes, difficulty in lifting the front part of the foot. Like now also the walking on toes, a lot of kids with Asperger's and autistic kids walk on their toes. So just because they walk on their toes doesn't mean it's muscular dystrophy and vice versa. So muscular dystrophy results in changes in genes that maintain the structure and functioning of muscles. The genetic change is generally inherited from parents, but the genetic change could also occur spontaneously throughout your lifetime. And it's more common in boys if there's also a family history of it. Muscular dystrophy cannot be prevented. It's an inherited condition. Certain lifestyle methods could cope better with the condition. eat a nutritious diet, exercise regularly, and take the medications or whatever they give you, take it in the right doses. And if you, some of the complications are dysphagia, which is difficulty swallowing, difficulty breathing, inability to walk, muscle contractures or shortening of muscles, curved spine or scoliosis, and heart problems. So some of the conditions that are related to muscular dystrophy are Duchenne muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, myotonic dystrophy, and cerebral palsy. But we're not going to go over all of these because we'll be here till Christmas. We went over dementia. There's different types of dementia that we went over. So Huntington's disease is another neurological disorder. So Huntington's disease causes movement, cognitive, and psychiatric disorders. And like I said, every illness, different symptoms for everybody. Some of the movement disorders, the first one's chorea, not chorea like the country chorea. It's C-H-O-R-E-A, and it's just involuntary jerking or writhing movement. Tremors, rigidity or contracture of muscles, slow or abnormal eye movement, impaired gait, which is you're able to walk. Your gait is you're actually walking. Posture imbalance, difficulty with speech and or swallowing. Some of the cognitive disorders are problems with organizing, prioritizing, or retaining focus on tasks, getting stuck on thoughts, behavior, or action, lack of control over impulses. And we all know that your frontal lobe controls impulse control is from your frontal lobe. That's where a lot of serial killers and, you know, psychotic or, you know, people have issues with their frontal lobes. Being unaware of one's own behavior, inability to process thoughts.
Is that why back in the day they used to do lobotomies?
Yes. Yes. And not all lobotomies work, by the way.
no.
That's the one. They thought they could cure everything with a lobotomy, and with lobotomy, sometimes they just made, and I hate to say this, a drooling, babbling idiot. It's some of the drawbacks of the way they did it back in the day. And when I say back in the day, I mean back in the day.
I remember the story of Rose Kennedy.
Who?
Ah, Rose Kennedy. The Kennedy daughter, she had some self-control issues, and despite what her parents wanted or whatever, they gave her a lobotomy.
Oh, yeah, they tried that with a lot of mental disorders, too.
Same with shock therapy. I mean, although now they've proven that when done correctly, shock therapy actually can work for certain things.
Yes, shock therapy will work with if you're trying to get rid of certain traumatic events in your life that you just can't work through. Yes, they've done electric shock therapy to get rid of things that's super traumatizing to people. And literally, you don't remember it because they have you think about it. Huh?
I said I know people that have gone through it. That's why I know it actually works.
Okay, so other difficulty learning new information and finding words to speak is dysgraphia. So some of the psychiatric disorders, depression or mania, irritability, social withdrawal, insomnia, fatigue. That's someone's car door.
Yeah, it's mine. I'm sorry.
Oh,
oh, we know it's yours.
I feel like I live in this vehicle.
I do. I live in mine pretty much all day long. From 7:45 until 5 o'clock at night. Ah, it sucks. I hate driving so much, too. Suicidal thoughts or tendencies and apathy. In Huntington, does result from a genetic defect that's inherited from parents.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to run to the park for a little bit, and then I'll be back here. All right, Peter.
You can have genetic testing done and family planning after consulting a genetic counselor. Considering in vitro fertilization with a donor egg or sperm, opting for in vitro with genetic testing of the embryos prior to implantation. So some of the complications, worsening functioning abilities, inability to swallow or speak, becoming confined to bed, falls, pneumonia, and other infections, which inevitably a lot of those can result in death because, you know, your immune system is gone. You know, I think of what is the... Well, shut up. Let's see. It doesn't have. Okay. So, the next one is Lou Gehrig's disease or ALS. Everybody knows who Lou Gehrig is? Do I have to go over who Lou Gehrig was?
Yeah, I think he was a baseball player, right?
He's the one they named it after because he had it.
Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis.
Yeah, and so the symptoms of it are weakness in your legs, feet, or ankles, difficulty walking or doing your normal daily activities, hand weakness or clumsiness, slurred speech or trouble swallowing, muscle cramps and twitching in your arms, shoulders, and tongue, difficulty holding your head up or keeping a good posture, and tripping and falling. In most cases of ALS, the cause is unknown. Some of the things that they think causes gene mutations. Mutations in the DNA can lead to Lou Gehrig's disease, protein mishandling, autoimmune reactions, possibly exposure to unknown environmental triggers. Most of the time it's heredity. People from the age of 40 to 60 are higher risk for it, and more men are prone to developing ALS. And so complications in dementia. What?
Yeah. I don't know if you follow my Facebook. I just recently had a friend who passed from ALS. He was 70.
Oh, 70? Oh, okay.
Yeah, and from diagnosis, he lived 3 years.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was going to look up. Usually it's not it's not a real long time after diagnosis, right? Depending on what stage they find it.
Yeah, and it's actually hard. It's hard to diagnose because it mimics so many other diseases as well. They have to rule out everything else before they can even rule that in. And then I think there's genetic testing involved just to prove it.
Yeah, that's what I was saying is a lot of illnesses have the same symptoms. You just have to know where to go. So some of the other complications are difficulty swallowing, which leads to malnutrition, aspiration, and pneumonia. And so when they have the problem breathing, they might need a tracheostomy and weight loss. And then eventually death does occur with ALS. Okay. Dystonia, is another one.
That's a bad high, right? That's a bad high, isn't it?
A bad high.
No.
Oh, there's not much on dystonia. It's basically it's an injury to the brain. It has not much to it. Heavy metal poisoning, the side effects of certain medications, and oxygen deprivation. So, like Parkinson's and Wilson's disease. Well, Wilson's disease is rare. And then Parkinson's, one of the side effects is dystonia. But
I don't think Wilson's is that rare. I don't think Wilson's is as rare as you think it is, because I see a lot of cases of Wilson's, and a lot of it has to do with copper buildup.
Yeah, I'm going with the computer set.
You go with it. Dr. Google wins every time.
Hell no, I'm not using Dr. Google. Actually, I'm not using WebMD, and that's the one I hate. So foot drop is another neurological disorder. I have a bunch of cases with foot drop, and it actually can be prevented, believe it or not. Basically, is you drag the front of the foot while walking. You know how if you sit down, your foot, you can bend it all the way forward, like ballerinas, they point their toes, or you can hold it where your toes are pointing straight up. Basically, it's the inability to raise the toes or the foot from the ankle. Uncontrolled slapping of the toes against the ground, and the patient's unable to walk in the heel-toe fashion, and there are special braces that they make.
You know how you identify that without even knowing sometimes?
Looking at their foot?
You look at the scuff on their shoe.
That was true. You look at their shoes, but if they can't walk.
No.
All I do is look at their foot.
People who have an L5 neuropathy just from the lumbar spine will get foot drop, and you see them come into the clinic and you watch them walk a little bit, and then they say that, you know, their back hurts and they have some sciatica issue, and then you look at their shoe and you see a scuff on one side, but the other side's not scuffed up on the tip of the shoe, you know that they're probably experiencing foot drop, and then you clue into it, you test for it. But, yeah, it's usually an L5 neuropathy for a foot drop.
The problem I have is my L4 to L5, L5 to 6 compressing. And I'm in constant back pain. I keep my heated feet on. I don't care how hot it is outside.
Yeah.
That's the only way. And I use my heating pad a lot at home.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I've got a lot of things
general
to look forward to.
Yeah, that L4 generally affects the lateral thigh and the inner calf, and that L5 gets that great toe and your buttock. Yeah, so that doesn't
sciatica. Could that be why I can't sleep on my left side or my right side?
Maybe.
If you look up
the dermatomes, just to Google the dermatomes, It'll show you the way the nerves travel through the extremities and out of what spinal column vertebrae it comes out of.
Oh yeah, someone told me about that. I asked him about it, and the doctor just did an X-ray and says, "Yeah, you got ankylosing spondylosis." Hell, thanks, guys. You know.
Well, ankylosing spondylosis is different. That's like bamboo back. You can't turn your head. You have to turn your whole body.
Oh, I could turn my head. It's just
the lower part of my spine
is all jacked up.
No, I don't think you have ankylosing spondylosis. Sounds more like you probably have what they call, give me a second, spinal stenosis.
Oh, well, they may need to change that in my medical records.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you might want to look up that yourself. Ankylosing spondylosis is a lot. You can tell when a patient has that. They walk in the clinic and you tell them something and they have to turn their whole torso because their spine is basically fusing together.
Okay. Was that the same thing as ankylosing spondylitis?
Yeah, spondylosis, spondylitis. Spondylitis is like acute, spondylosis is like chronic.
Okay. Yeah,
or
well, that's what my x-ray said. I had ankylosing spondylitis. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah. And that means you got a deficiency in the human leukocyte antigen beta 27, so you should do genetic testing to prove it. HLA beta 27. Yeah. Interesting stuff. I love ortho.
I have to look it up because I just know my L4 to L5 to 6 is compressed, and it's a pain in the ass. So anyway, let's go back to foot drop. Yeah. Oh, but I was going to say about the foot drop with bed-bound patients, they have those big foamy foot pillows, and it's got two straps on it, and it helps keep their foot up. A lot of my bed-bound patients have foot drop. A lot of them do. And the way, and what irritates me is the family's like, why? They can't walk, so what does it matter? Because it's painful. You know, your foot's not naturally supposed to be pointed all the time. And so it does cause issues. But some of the causes may be polio, a viral infection, which can result in disability, Parkinson's, a stroke, muscular dystrophy, ALS, diabetes, a tumor, MS, motor neuron disease, injury
That's
to
it.
The common peroneal nerve, hip or knee replacement surgery, cerebral palsy. Okay, I can't know if I can pronounce this right. Charcot-Marie-Tooth disease. Did I pronounce that right?
Charcot. Yep.
Okay. And some of the risk factors includes crossing your legs, wearing a leg cast, and prolonged kneeling. Well, fine. So some of the a prevention could be padded splints for patients on long bed rest or patients who are immobile for a long time. And that's those big, they look like giant pillows. And they just wrap it, but that's what it looks like. Encourage active exercise for patients who are immobile for a long time. And early treatment of underlying conditions that may result in foot drop. Now, let's go to... I've never heard of this one. Ah, come on. Where'd it go? Essential tremor? Never heard of this.
Yep. Parkinson's.
A kinetic tremor? Same thing as Parkinson's?
Essential tremor? Yeah.
Yeah. Uncontrolled shaking, tremors, a balance problem. It results from genetic mutation in case of familial tremor. The cause of essential tremor in people who do not have genetic mutation is not known. Usually it hits people over 40. And there's no known preventative measures. And some of the complications is difficulty holding a cup or a glass without spilling it, difficulty eating normally, putting on makeup or shaving, difficulty talking when the tongue or voice box is affected, and writing legibly. Oh, yes, that's a big one. A lot of my I get a Parkinson's patient who he can't sign his name to save his life. Okay. So that's the common, most of the common neurological issues. So thought we could just go and start with A and work our way down. But
hey,
like I said, there's a bunch.
How about Homer syndrome?
But what? Homer?
H-O-N-E-R, Homer syndrome.
Homer, I know it's here somewhere. Hey, they don't have that. Fine. We have Holmes-Addy syndrome.
What is it?
Ah, crap. Holmes-Addy syndrome?
Okay.
Now look
here. Look for Aniscoria. Aniscoria. Aniscoria.
Okay.
You look at a person and you see one large pupil and one small pupil.
Oh, okay. Is that under, neurological?
Neurosyphilis.
Oh.
Come again?
I'm looking up on a neurological. I'm like, that's not there either.
Yeah, it's neurosyphilis. It's a neurological fix of syphilis causes one pupil to dilate and the other one not to. Hohner syndrome or aniscoria.
Yeah, aniscoria or unequal pupils.
Yeah, they used to call it prostitute eye.
Prostitute eye. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here now, this page has Horner syndrome on it, and hold on a second. One pupil is smaller than the other. A drooping of the eyelid, raising of the lower lid. Anhydrosis, the lack of sweat to the affected area. One pupil slow to dilate. And a lighter color of the iris in children. So Horner syndrome can be caused by damage to the first order, second order, or third order neurons. Damage to the first order neuron can be caused due to stroke, tumor, injury to the neck, multiple sclerosis. Damage to the second order neuron can be caused due to lung cancer, traumatic injury. Damage to the aorta, which is the main blood vessel of the heart. Damage to the third order neuron can be due to injury to the carotid artery, which is the major blood vessels in the neck. Severe headaches and tumors. Puma. Okay. Next.
Signs and symptoms of neurosyphilis. That's an interesting subject. And and since you're talking about neurological issues, and you were talking about seizure disorders earlier and stuff, have you discussed about the Glasgow Coma Scale, GSC?
Oh no, no, I haven't gone over that. I was just going over the different disorders. But hey, we could go over that. Why not? I need to learn it anyway.
I bet you. Yeah, because you know with your nursing skills, you know you can be an expert at that pretty quick. But the other neurological
issues. If you don't use it, you lose it.
That's true. That's so true. Yeah, it's kind of interesting stuff. But okay, so hey, you know, you were talking about neurological conditions and then some medications, you know. You know some of the psych meds that they use, which causes, you know, problems with dopamine and acetylcholine and the different receptors. You know, you could be taking a medication for like depression, anxiety, bipolar, or you could develop chorea. You were talking about that, involuntary dancing-like movements, and that could remain permanent. Do you know that?
Oh, no. I did not.
I did not know that.
That chorea associated with some of those medications can be permanent once it starts. What is it called? I'll think about it here in a little bit. It'll come back to me. So some medications can cause neurological disorders as well, and they can be permanent. starting and stopping medications can create problems, seizure disorders. You stop a seizure medication abruptly, you know, you can have a seizure.
Oh, definitely.
If you take too much, you could have a seizure. Did you talk about febrile seizures?
Yeah, we talked about those last week. Oh, a couple weeks ago. Sometime. I know we did.
And
I know it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. And then there's also other seizures where you don't even know it's a seizure occurring. It's called an absence seizure. You guys talked about that one too?
No, never heard of that.
Yes. Oh, you were not on. That's right. That's why you. Yeah, we went over all the different type of seizures.
Oh, okay.
And
I'm sorry.
Not
we got
all,
old news.
Yeah, not all seizures, like I was saying earlier, not all seizures are from epilepsy.
No.
Yeah, I
didn't but,
remember that condition.
An absence seizure, you'll have a kid that's sitting in classroom and then he'll just start staring out into space and get stuck there for a second, and then he'll come back.
Oh, I thought there was another word for that. Catatonic.
Nope. Catatonic's different. But
no, catatonia lasts a while.
Well, you know, catatonic happened to a lot of those frontal lobe epilepsy patients you were talking about. They cut out the frontal lobe, and next thing you know, these guys are stuck in one position forever.
Yeah, I remember One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Patch
Adams, that was a funny movie. The guy standing there with his hands up, ooh, pick me, ooh, pick me.
Okay, so the catatonia is a stupor, an inability to move, speak, or respond to stimulus, lack of verbal response, echolalia, echolalia is also with children with Asperger's as well. They repeat everything. I could be talking, and then the person with echolalia will repeat it, not knowing that they're doing it. Echopraxia, which is involuntary repetition of another person's action. Agitation, mutism, and a rigid body posture. I took care of a Vietnam vet who would go into a catatonic stupor. He would just be totally rigid. If you looked at him, you would have thought he had died with his eyes open. And he stayed like that for hours. And he finally comes out of it.
Are you sure he wasn't doing it on purpose? When I was a kid, we had a babysitter. He used to do that, but he did it on purpose. He said he was sleeping.
No, I know. But if you don't respond to some kind of stimulus, that's how you know they're not faking it. Because, and I hate to say this.
We weren't allowed to touch him, but we could take a stick or throw a pebble or something at him if we needed his attention.
One guy that I could
maybe he was narcoleptic.
No, he that's how he
was making it.
I mean, when he was on duty watching us, he would take a cat nap with his eyes wide open, and he would sleep without breathing. I mean, he was breathing, but he would breathe without looking like he looked dead. That's all I knew. And the first time I thought he was dead, I mean, I knew better than to touch him with my hand, you know, because otherwise I'd be dead. But, yeah, the first time I saw him, it really scared me. And I took his guitar and I nudged him with it, and he responded.
El kabong.
Yeah. So obviously it wasn't catatonia.
So some conditions that's related to catatonia is schizophrenia, neuroleptic malignant syndrome, waxy flexibility, disorganized schizophrenia, psychosis, major depressive disorder, and paranoid schizophrenia.
Why
a lot of those are... Huh?
Why are those particular conditions associated with it?
Doc, go ahead and answer them. Go ahead and answer.
What was the question?
Why are, like, schizophrenia, neuroleptic, malignant syndrome, psychosis, major depressive disorder, paranoid schizophrenia related to catatonia? It's the mind. I guess that's pretty much the only way to...
Are psychological conditions related?
I don't know the answer to that question.
No, I just was curious. You know, I mean, obviously somebody must have a reason why they're associating catatonia with those particular psychological conditions and not all psychological. You know what I mean?
Oh, true.
Well,
here's the thing.
Maybe. What is the definition of catatonia, though? Maybe that's where it's at.
Okay. Hold on. It's a neuropsychiatric disorder which affects behavior and motor function. That's why.
So it's a neuropsychiatric, correct? So maybe that's why those psychoses can be associated with that neuropsychiatric disorder. That's
right.
The only thing I can think of.
Yeah,
I know, it's true. It's like bipolar. It's not like, I don't know. It's maybe, hold on, let me see what, we'll go with schizophrenia. Let's see, they have DID and bipolar and schizoaffective disorder, paranoid schizophrenia, mental illness, and catatonia. Okay, catatonia is the abnormal state of unresponsiveness, acting behavioral and motor functions in a person. So that's the definition of what they're giving to why. So
that's interesting.
There you
go. Just interesting.
What?
I said it was just interesting that they were associated. I was just curious. I never really thought about, you know, I mean, I know there are different types of psychosis, but I never really think in terms of, well, these are related to these, but not to these type of thing.
True. Yeah. So another one is spinal cord injuries. And I've learned quite a bit about spinal cord injuries with one of the patients that I have. Most people, when you think of a quadriplegic, that their spinal cord was severed or something, and they have no use of their arms and legs. I was taking care of a veteran who had an accident, and his spinal cord was pinched. And he's been a quadriplegic for 11 years, and he has use of his arms. Well, I say some use. He does have a lot of spasms and tremors. He started to have more feeling down his legs, but redefined it. Hold on a second. I'm trying to think of, because we had to do, like, with him, we had to do bowel training and, you know, all that fun that goes with it. And this is not helping me at all. We're going to go right back to spinal cord injury. So some of the symptoms with spinal cord injuries, you could have problems walking, weakness, loss of bowel or bladder control, depending on what part of the spine gets damaged. Feelings of spreading numbness or tingling in the extremities, unconsciousness, headaches, difficulty breathing or coughing, which is especially true if it's in the C1 through 5, right? C1 and 2, mm-hmm. if you sever your, if you damage the C1 and 2, that's the breathing completely, right?
Yep.
Okay, like Christopher Reeve. Because he was on a ventilator until he got pneumonia. Let's see. Headaches, difficulty breathing and coughing, back pain, pain or stiffness in the neck. And usually an accident while driving, sports, the military, anything that you could damage your spine. Violent events such as stabbing or gunshot. I've taken care of quite a few gunshot victims who are paraplegics as well instead of quadriplegics. Vascular disorders, tumors, infectious conditions, developmental disorders, spondylosis, and vertebral fractures secondary to osteoporosis. Okay. Let's see. I'm gonna go over this one. Autonomic dysreflexia. That's a mouthful, and I can't even speak. So, some of the symptoms of the autonomic dysreflexia are a flushed feeling or a pounding headache. You can also have heavy sweating, anxiety, slow heart rate, blurry vision, dilated pupils, goosebumps on the lower part of your body, trouble breathing, and a stuffy nose. So, wow. And so some of the causes is by an irritant below the level of injury, which can include for your bowel or for your bladder. Through the irritation of the bladder wall, a UTI, a blocked catheter, or over-collection bag. Like, you know, anyone's ever seen a catheter bag? You got to empty it. You can't leave it full. It can back up. For your bowels, you can have a distended or irritated bowel, constipation. I don't like this one. This one's not showing everything. Sorry.
Really weird. Are you laying on it? I don't know.
Do what? Okay. Now, what's some other neurological disorders you guys want to see? Well, here's one just because I like the name. Adrenoleukodystrophy. I got to read this. X-linked adrenoleukodystrophy, or ALD, is one of a group of genetic disorders called the leukodystrophies that cause damage to the myelin sheath, which we know is the covering of your nerves. It's an insulating membrane that surrounds the nerve cells in the brain. Women have two X chromosomes and are the carriers of the disease. But since men only have one X chromosome and lack the protective effect of the extra X, they are more severely affected. People with XALD accumulate high levels of saturated, very long-chain fatty acids, or VLCFA, in the brain and adrenal cortex. So the loss of the myelin sheath and the progressive dysfunction of the adrenal gland are the primary characteristics of XALD. And we all know your adrenal gland is on top of your kidneys. While nearly all patients with XALD suffer from adrenal insufficiency, also known as Addison's disease, the neurological symptoms can be either in childhood or adulthood, and the childhood cerebral form is the most severe, and usually it's affected between 4 and 10-year-olds. And the most common symptoms are usually behavioral changes, such as like abnormal withdrawal or aggression, poor memory, poor school performance. Sounds like a typical teenager. Other symptoms include visual loss, learning disabilities, seizures, poorly articulated speech, difficulty swallowing, deafness, disturbances of gait and coordination, fatigue, intermittent vomiting, increased skin pigmentation, and progressive dementia. The milder adult onset form is also known as adrenomyeloneuropathy, or AMN, which typically begins around 21 to 35 years old. And so some of the symptoms with that is progressive stiffness, weakness or paralysis of the lower limbs, and ataxia. Although adult onset ALD progresses a lot slower than the classic childhood form, it can also result in the deterioration of brain function. And almost half the women who are carriers of X-ALS will develop a milder form of AMN, but almost never will develop symptoms seen in boys with X-ALD. Wow, too many abbreviations. X-ALD should not be confused with the neonatal adrenoleukodystrophy, which is a disease of the newborns and young infants and belongs to a group of paroxysmal biogenesis disorders. Huh. Did not know that. So the treatment, adrenal function must be tested periodically with people with ALD. Treatments with adrenal hormones can be life-saving. Symptomatic and supportive treatment for ALD include physical therapy, psychological support, and special education. And recent evidence suggests that a mixture of oleic acid and uricic acid, also known as Lorenzo's oil, to be administered to boys with X-ALD prior to symptom onset. And they say it can prevent or delay the appearance of the childhood cerebral form. So they're saying this Lorenzo's oil is supposed to help. So the prognosis for it is for the kids with childhood cerebral X-ALD is generally poor to progressive neurological deterioration unless they get bone marrow transplantation is performed early. Huh. I don't think bone marrow would have anything to do with neurological. And
well,
so death usually
it's full of DNA and stuff. Well, bone marrow, it's the DNA, I think, no? Or the stem cells or some shit like that?
Yeah, in theory.
Is that where stem cells come from?
When children are diagnosed with it, the death is usually within 1 to 10 years after they start having symptoms. And if an adult gets it, adult onset AMN, it takes decades. So that's rough. Okay, let me get out of that one. Let's see. Some of these I've never heard of, honestly. We've gone over Alzheimer's. Let's see.
Well, I thought they have those ones, the orphan diseases.
Huh?
Orphan diseases, the ones the pharmaceutical companies don't want to spend money researching because there's not enough people that have them.
So we've talked about Asperger's.
Yeah.
Asperger or AS is a developmental disorder. Believe it or not, it's an autism spectrum disorder.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you can have someone with autism, and there's multiple levels of autism.
Yep.
You have I say non-functioning autism, they're aphasic. They don't, they're nonverbal. When I say not, they can still make sounds, but they're not verbal.
Well, you have the same with Down syndrome. And Down syndrome, there's a large spectrum. And also, too, the two will converge, autism and Down syndrome.
But, yeah, Asperger's, you could be high-functioning and have a job and get married and have a normal life. But, yeah, so one of a distinct group of neurological conditions characterized by a greater or lesser degree of impairment in language and communication skills, as well as repetitive or restrictive patterns of thought and behavior. Like, people could say that, like with Asperger's, look at someone with an OCD. The repetition. Same thing.
Right.
It's so different. You know. So anyway, other ASDs include classic autism, Rett syndrome, childhood disintegrative disorder, pervasive developmental disorder, not otherwise specified, which is usually referred to as PDD-NOS.
Huh.
Unlike children with autism, children with AS retain their early language skills. The most distinguishing symptom of AS is a child's obsessive interest in a single object or a topic to the exclusion of any other. Children with AS want to know everything about their topic of interest, and their conversations with others will be about little else. Yeah, so they get that. One-track mind. Track mind. And there's nothing you can do about it.
They perseverate. Perseverate. I learned new word. I learned that word a few months ago because of my nephew. He perseverates on things. He has Down syndrome. And sometimes he just, it's hard to get him off of the topic, you know, that we're talking about. You know, he's just focused on one thing, and it's like, no, Anthony, no, stop, talk something out, because he's just perseverating on that.
They could still function. It's just hard.
Right.
I mean, it's good when you think of some things when they're trying to learn something, but they have a harder time going on to the next subject. That's the problem. Other characteristics of AS include repetitive routines or rituals, peculiarities in language, socially and emotionally inappropriate behavior, and the inability to interact successfully with peers. That's true. Some also can't interact with other children, but they can adults. Children with AS are isolated because of their poor social skills and narrow interests. They may approach other people but make normal conversation impossible by inappropriate or eccentric behavior, or by wanting to only talk about their singular interests. Like, we'll think of a ball. They got a brand new ball, but they only want to talk about that ball and what that ball can do. And you know, kids, you know how most kids, they wander from subject to subject or toy to toy. And most kids with AS have a hard time doing that.
You know what? This is a weird observation. I've been watching Bill Gates on and off for years. I'm wondering if he isn't on the spectrum.
Well, have you heard of Elon Musk?
I'm being serious. Yeah, Elon Musk,
He's got Asperger's. He's an Asperger.
Does he really?
I have a young man who has Asperger's, and he's highly intelligent. He works for the government.
But he's very focused on things.
Yeah.
He gets focused on things, yeah. But the thing is, that focus makes him good at what he does, because he can block everything else out.
Yeah.
I just thought Bill Gates is on the spectrum. That's all. I just always thought he was, because if you ever watch him through the years, like, look at when they put the pie in his face, or when they were questioning him on things. You know, and over the years, I just always wonder. Nobody's ever commented on it. I just, you know.
Yep, that's a good question. And you know, but I'm from Texas, and you know, here in Texas, Asperger, that's sirloin from the beef butt.
It's what?
It's from the cow's butt. It's sirloin, tenderloin.
Yeah, okay.
Asperger's.
I know. It's Asperger, it's not Asperger's. I know. Children with AS usually have a history of developmental delays in motor skills, such as pedaling a bike, catching a ball, climbing on outdoor equipment, and they're often awkward and poorly coordinated with walks, and they can look like they're a klutz, but they have issues with walking. So,
when you're saying AS, are you talking about autistic spectrum, or are you talking about Asperger? What's AS?
Asperger syndrome.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. The AS I'm talking about is Asperger's.
Okay.
So therapies that address the three core symptoms of this disorder is poor communication skills, obsessive or repetitive routines, and physical clumsiness. And there's no single best treatment for all children with AS. But most professionals agree that the earlier the intervention, the better.
So does autism
skills training. Huh?
Is autism caused by the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, MMR?
That's debatable. I don't think it is. I think it's more environmental.
They actually published a study, that showed proof, and then it was retracted. So somebody possibly got paid off.
I think that do play a role, but I agree with Kim that you also have to look at the environment. You have to look at the mother and, you know, what did she do while she was pregnant? You know, what did she eat? You know, I mean, there are just so many things that the shame, though, that they absolutely refuse to look at the possibility that vaccines or any of that stuff have any kind of role.
Here's the thing. I think it's the five-year-old, when they get to the five-year-old shot for the MMR, why not delay it till they're six? It has something to do with the age of the child. So maybe it's the age of the child and environmental factors. Because if you look in the past.
Here's another question. Why do you have to give them five vaccines at one time? Why can't you spread them out and give them one at a time? Maybe it's the combination of those things that are affecting them.
But the government says you get that kid in the clinic, you give him one shot at a time, you're not going to get him back. Get him while you got him.
No. At this point, the government is fucking kicking my little white ass.
Well, I take care of the immigrant refugee children. I told you that. I do their their initial medical exams for entrance into the U.S. so they don't have communicable diseases, and we have to make sure that they have the vaccination current. And if they don't have a vaccine record, they get nine at one time. And these kids are still walking out of here fine.
Why don't they just do a titer to show if they've had any?
We don't know what's going to happen. A couple
well, they, you
down.
Can't
what
mix the vaccines together to give it like one. Now, there is a measles, mump, rubella, and varicella all in one shot now.
But let me
they have all four.
How old are these children? How old are
the
they?
Well, the children are from 0 to 18, 17. At 18, the Border Patrol picks them up and takes them out of the custody, the facilities that I have.
Because
they're for children only.
To a toddler?
You,
not
no,
in
you
the
give
same
them the,
shot.
No, you don't. You don't. You give them the vaccines at which point based upon their age. So by the age of 7 years old, you should have already had all 9 of those vaccines. So that's when you hit them with all 9 at once.
But again, you're talking about a 7-year-old as opposed to a 3 or 4-year-old.
Yeah, the three.
When you get all your shots,
it's the age-appropriate. It's the age-appropriate catch-up vaccine. So based upon what age the CDC recommends that child have a vaccine, he will get all the vaccines that he should have gotten up until that age. Most of the kids that I see are usually 8 years old and older. So automatically, they're all due for the 9 vaccines. And then the 12-year-olds, obviously, they get that additional vaccine.
But again, my questioning is the age the children are getting them and how many all at once. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. So, yeah, no. 12 years old gets all 9, less than 12, between 12 and I think it's 6, they get 8. And if they're a 3-year-old, they're only going to get, I think it's the 3 or 4. It's age appropriate, but most of the kids, the point is you can give all the vaccines simultaneously and it is considered safe by the CDC and the FDA.
I haven't seen any research one way or the other. That's the whole point.
I
got a question on that. You brought up CDC and the WHO. How do you trust
the FDA? I didn't bring up the WHO. The FDA. I'm sorry?
How do you trust any of these vaccines anymore with everything that's going on with that?
I don't think he has a
choice. As a licensed medical provider, I can only prescribe and recommend things that are approved by the FDA, not
like
the
I
CDC.
Said,
but
okay.
It has to have FDA approval. Now, do I have my doubts sometimes? Yes, I have my doubts also. But these practices are based upon some scientific data, and so it's more data than I can come up with. Now, what I can tell you is this. I've been doing this with these shelters since 2013. That's what, 9 years?
I've not had one
incident. I have not had one adverse event by giving multiple vaccines at one time.
See, and that's the other thing. See, here it is. Why is it that all of a sudden in the last 10 years there's this issue with autism and MMR shots when it's never been an issue in the past? That's why I think it all has to do with environment and during the pregnancy.
The research sees an increase in these conditions as we've also seen, you know, the vaccine program for kids has only been around since, like, 1994. You know that, right? I mean, we've had vaccines all our lives. But the government has been really pushing every kid to get vaccinated officially since 1994.
Yeah, when Bill Gates decided he wanted to depopulate the planet.
Yeah, and whatever. But the thing is, they've noticed an increase in these conditions when they increase the vaccinations. So they think there may be a connection there, but you cannot get the pharmaceutical companies who make these vaccines to allow any research to be published. And when it is published, it's retracted. Money makes the dog fat.
They were given, I think it was a Reagan that signed that thing to give them, a free get out of jail card, no getting sued. But it was based that they were supposed to be tracking and researching and reevaluating every 2 years or something like that. I read a document on it, and they have not presented one document showing that they adhere to what they were supposed to be doing. I am not an anti-vax. I truly am not. Except for this COVID thing. But my thing is too. Also, are the vaccines? Whatever vaccine that they're giving out now, is it the same recipe? Is it the exact same thing they gave me 50 years ago? So the vaccine
No.
is given to 7-year-olds, right? So that's another thing that has to be considered. They've changed
Yep.
the ingredients.
Yeah. Yep. They changed the ingredients, and actually now they're changing the vectors that they're using for vaccines. Where they used to use viruses to vector a vaccine into you, now they're using mRNA, and it scares a lot of people.
To be honest, I have ever since I got out of the military in 93. I got out of the military October 3rd of 93.
You're telling your age there, buddy.
I didn't know you were that old.
Gee, thanks.
I got out of 94. It's okay. I got out of 94, all right?
I'm still older than you.
Well, I have not had a vaccine other than one tetanus shot every 10 years. I have not got a vaccine since then, and I am very rarely sick.
I know a number of people that have said
that. So I try. I know I smoke, but I also try to keep – I go hiking. I do cardio. I do all kinds of stuff to try to keep healthy other than my smoking habit.
You know, one of my recommendations for you, it's just me, and something you need to talk to your doctor. You need to do the research. There's plenty of sources. But for you, at your age and with your history, you really should consider getting the pneumonia vaccine. I'm not telling you have to or you need to. You should consider it.
You should
discuss it with your doctor.
My doctor won't let me have the pneumonia vaccine. One, because I got blood clots when I got COVID, and they're like, oh, once you hit a certain age, you don't need to get the pneumonia shot. I'm like, well, I've only had one, and I'm 50 now.
Yeah, but when you hit 65, when you hit 65, there's another recommendation for the pneumococcal.
I got the pneumonia shot in my
40s. You know, the other vaccines you may want to consider at our ages is the shingles vaccine.
Yeah, I'll take a chance if
I wanted that.
Because most of the kids now, they got their chickenpox vaccine, the varicella. We didn't get that one when we were little, so we all got chickenpox.
No.
Then we ended up getting the vaccine, but we got the chickenpox, and now it lives in our system, and it's going to come out sooner or later. And it sucks.
I had any vaccine made today, not one. I will not miss any of them made today.
And once again, ma'am, discuss it with your doctor. Do your own research and make your own decision. They're not mandatory.
But it's just
recommendations from a healthcare provider that there are some vaccines I like, there's some I don't.
And again,
I've had the measles. I've had the mumps.
You had shingles?
I've had the measles. I've had the chicken pox. I've had all three when I was a kid.
And the shingles. You get the shingles too?
I've never had the shingles.
And God, I hope you don't get them.
Now, one thing that I have been practicing over, probably the last 10 years or longer, is herbal medicine straight from the woods, from the plants. I know, like your aspirin, ibuprofen, Tylenol, it's the same thing that is made up in those pills is in the chemical balance in the bark of a willow tree. So I make my own. I don't take the pills and all that stuff. But it's the same ingredients as aspirin. Or, you know.
But, you know, not everybody has your chemical knowledge and background to do that, though, you know?
Right. Well, that's true. That's very true. But if people would do their research on more of the herbal side of things, you will realize how much money you can actually save by going to the woods, because there's – how do you think that all these medications were invented? You know,
where do you live, sir? Where do you live? Because I don't have any willow trees here in South Texas. I'm sorry?
I live in Illinois.
Oh, yeah. Here in South Texas, we don't have any willow trees. We got mesquite trees and we got palm trees. South Texas, we wouldn't be able to do that.
Certain areas have certain trees, like your zones. You know, all across the United States, there's different types of trees growing. Check in your area of what kind. Look it up. I mean, do your homework on, there's different plants that do the same thing also that grow in that area.
As a medical provider, I tend to practice a lot of homeopathic medicine. I would prefer to do, you know, a natural replenishment of missing nutrients and minerals versus standard medications. But I do have a lot of patients who they just don't have the understanding or the desire to do the homework. Medicine profits often. But I'm going to tell you, you know the truth. Medicine profits off of others' ignorance.
You're right. You're right.
For many, many years.
I will say this much about today's society. People now in America are more lazy than ever before with the help of technology. Technology has screwed a lot of shit up here in America.
Your insurance company.
Insurance companies are, oh my God. You really want to get me started on that?
No.
But I'll tell you, I would love to get an internship with an old Indian doctor.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, man. That is, I tell you what, they are the top of the line.
And in Mexico, because I live right on the border, they have also, they call the witch doctors or the curanderas. I would love to do an internship with one of them, because you will get the best of both worlds. And technically, the Mexican doctors, those witch doctors, are also Native American.
Right.
It migrated from Mexico up into the U.S. in a lot of cases. So, man, imagine the knowledge you could get from these people, and no one else is searching that out. These guys are coming out here with this homeopathic medicine, and they're keeping you ignorant to it, and they're making money off of it. But I would love to get
you
it
just
like
said
that.
It. Because the pharmaceutical companies, it's all about money. It's not about the health anymore. Back when we were kids our age, I think to a certain extent, there was a lot of care. They're selfish. It's all about the almighty dollar and what helps them in life. What makes
doctors
and money?
Doctors have always, even 1800s, always capitalized off the ignorance of others. The home doctors that would come home to home, they would tell you to take two of these and call me in the morning, and they wouldn't tell you what you're taking or nothing. You didn't care as long as you got better. And then you were so grateful.
Right.
And he might have taken a chicken in exchange, but whatever. You know, he's still capitalizing off of your ignorance.
That's very true.
I've got two patients.
Bartering was the biggest note of payment because a lot of people didn't have money. I mean, my grandpa was full-blooded Blackfoot Indian. He totally lived off the land. Totally self-dependent, didn't give a shit about nothing and nobody because he lived off the land. I myself have stopped buying food and meat from the stores. I buy mine either straight from a farmer or I go hunt for it.
Your grandfather, my grandfather, our grandfathers, grandparent mothers. It's a lost art. I was telling you guys like a couple shows back. I don't even know how to. My grandmother used to can vegetables and store them and can foods and jar them, and they would last her.
Oh, I see.
Right. We don't.
But
for most people, it's a lost art. If HEB or your local grocery store goes down and their freezers are out of business, you got starving people out there.
Oh yeah. Go ahead, Kim. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Oh no, I was gonna say, did you notice on Facebook where they were warning people that says, "Do you know someone who's stockpiling food, who cans their food to turn them in?" Because they don't want anybody to put their own food away because When you can fruits and vegetables, there's not all the preservatives in it. It's healthier, and you're taking money away from Big Pharma, your doctors, and
True. Yep. How many people shit themselves because they didn't have toilet paper?
Right. Right. Well. Here's my, and to bring this up, Kim, anybody who wants to turn me in for what I do can go ahead. But I'll tell you right now, if anybody shows up at my door to try to arrest me for what I think is right, oh, my God, there will be, it'll be war. I'm just going to put it that way.
First time I showed my daughter how to use cloth diapers for my granddaughter because she was out of Pampers, and told her, you have to wash these things out and reuse them. You can't be tearing things. I showed her, you take it to the commode and you dip it and dip it and dip it and you wash it out and then you wash it in the washing machine and then you reuse them. And she's like, that's crazy. She's like, we got Pampers. Well, you know what? Maybe she doesn't have Pampers during this shortage.
I had to use cloth diapers on my son because he was allergic to the gel in the Pampers or the diapers. And we could not use regular diapers on him. And so, and this was in the 90s. And we used them then. Yes, it's a pain in the ass because you got to wash them, bleach them, and all
that stuff.
Save
you money. Yeah. But it saves money. Peppers are expensive. Sure.
Oh, no kidding.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. Nobody is going to come after you for canning foods. And where you're messing up is you're listening to Facebook. Fuck Facebook.
No, I know.
Be on here to begin with.
Right.
I know. What I'm saying is, well,
because you're
going to
get one person on there that says the sky is black, and you're going to get another person that says the sky is blue, and you're going to get another person that says if you don't agree with the government saying the sky is red, you're all going to jail. And then you can't buy stock into that. It's nothing I see on there.
No, I know. But what I'm saying
it's a marketing tool, and it's a way I can stay in touch with my family at a distance. But as far as opinions, I make my own.
Oh, hell no. But that's what Facebook, that's their whole thing now, is the divide in the country. And if people only knew how much healthier they would be by canning their foods, you know, but that's the whole thing. Big
if
Brother's going to suffer.
People only knew how healthy they'd be if they get the fuck off of Facebook.
Well,
that's right.
Here's the only thing. I'm not on social media very much. I check into our group, and that's it. I get off.
Nice.
I don't watch the news media. I very rarely watch TV. My happy place to de-stress, go for a hike in the woods, go camp. Go fishing, sit on a bank, light up a fire, sit around a fire of an evening time, look up at the stars, and look at what God has provided on this earth. And, you know, people are too busy, stressed out, how am I going to pay my car note or my house payment or how am I going to be able to afford this? Look. Money is because
of buying
everything.
Diapers.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, money is nice in today's society, but it ruined society. People, if you...
I mean, you got to have it to pay your bills.
Right. I get that. But what did our forefathers do before, I'm talking way back, how did they survive? Look how much healthier they were by eating deer meat, raccoon, possum, birds, ducks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they died a lot younger because of disease, though. That's the problem. The forefathers, a lot of them died young.
Yeah, but so if we could take our technology... and stop
but we're
eating
dying
all the processed
of, we're
food.
Dying of new diseases. They probably didn't have all the cancers that we have now, you know? So they were probably healthier in some regards, but in other regards, not as advanced. So, yeah, so I see what you're saying, but I don't agree with it 100%.
They didn't have those made-up diseases like Omicron.
No, I think the part of the problem is if you look at the FDA, they allow so much shit.
That's the problem.
They allow so much shit to go in our food that's why we have all the diseases we have.
Right.
Look at other countries like the UK. They don't allow half the shit that we put in our food. The preservatives, the dyes, the chemicals, you're not allowed.
Right.
So,
well, you know what? And you know what? Now go buy organic and see how much more you're going to pay for it than just the regular processed
true.
Shit. Yeah. So,
And
stop thinking you're American because you're Chinese now. You better learn Mandarin pretty soon.
I'd rather be Russian. I'd rather be Russian through the Chinese.
Roman hands and Russian fingers.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
but no, we really need to stop with all the shit in our food. You know, that's what's causing all these cancers and illnesses.
Right. That's very
But
true.
You know, I mean, you guys keep spreading the good word and keep, you know, the suggestions about trying to find natural ways of doing things and reverting back to older ways and not depend so much on technology or the modern day advances. You're going to survive in these catastrophic times much better than that other guy who all he cares about is what Facebook has to say in the morning.
Right, right. What CNN says, stop paying attention to what is going on, the news, social media. You know, de-stressing will make you healthier in the long run. Stop caring about what other people think of you. Stop, you know, find your stress relief and practice that more, because let me tell you something. If you listen to the freaking news of what's going on in the UK, what's going on in Russia, what's going on in China, what's going on in all these other freaking countries, worry about what's going on in your world around you.
Can I make a recommendation too for some, you know, those of you who have those pearls you've learned about, like, say, canning foods or using the willow root, the bark of the willow tree, what you need to put those in a memoir and write them down, make a book, whatever, a diary, a log, and then pass that on when you pass, because every time you don't, it's a lost art. I wish my mother would have left some recipes behind for some of the cooking she did. Never, you know, I wish my grandmother would have left the instructions on how she canned her vegetables and fruits and things. I wish my grandfather, I wonder how my grandfather had a windmill to pump his water and provide electricity when there was no electricity back then.
Ooh,
my grandfather had a windmill for both, you know, but now you try to get solar power or windmill power, you got to buy these expensive batteries, the storage, the transformers, the voltage, all kinds of crazy shit. He didn't have any of that, you know? Well, maybe he did, but
no,
I don't know. But if he would have written down a memoir and passed it on to the next generation, maybe it would have made a difference. So don't let your intelligence be a dying art. Don't let your intelligence be a dying art. Pass it on.
Here's
the problem with trying to pass it down.
Hold on.
This generation doesn't want that. They want gimme, gimme, gimme. I want it in my hands right now. Instant gratification. That's going to be the problem for these new generations.
Colonel, you're not the parent.
Yeah.
Of this generation, you're the parents of your children.
Oh, I know.
I have
instilled that
a lot of knowledge to my kids. They know.
Yep.
One thing, there is a series of books that I know I've brought up in my survival shows that I've done in the past. There's books out here on the art of lost ways, shelter building, fire building, preserving food, medicines.
Oh, yeah,
there,
I got that
I mean,
list.
There
yeah.
is.
And what the colonel is doing and what the defenders are doing is they're passing on book knowledge and common knowledge. And I really wish we had a bigger audience because we could pass on so much good information. Colonel, you're doing a great job, and that's why I keep coming back.
Well, thank you.
The Defender 7 has really got me depressed to a certain extent is because people don't listen. We are trying to help America. And we pass on, whether it's the medical show, the religious shows, the survival shows, we've done videos on so many different types of things. And
now you can see where the social media platform comes important, because that's where you can get the word out there. But you still have to get over the bias and the ignorance of others.
Right. That is so true. You know, everybody has their opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
That's true.
And opinions unfortunately, are. People nowadays are ignorant. And I don't mean they have the potential.
Okay. We have 2 minutes.
They have the laziness. So on that note, y'all, I'm waiting to go into work, clock in, and you all have a good night, and God bless.
Yep.
God bless.
You too,
thanks
brother.
For sharing, brother. Thanks for sharing.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, I'm going to hit you up on some more of that herbal stuff.
Right on. We'll talk.
Thanks again for
cool.
a great show there, Colonel. Thank you, everybody, for participating, calling in. God bless America. God bless our children, first responders, our veterans, our military, and God bless the Defender 7. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Even I hope God blesses Bobby, too.
Amen.
Reveille, reveille, reveille.